Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Nick, are you a virgin at all?
What?
Doesn't seem like... Are you a virgin?
Yes.
No.
You were a virgin when we were seeing each other?
Yeah, I was 12.
You said he was a virgin.
I think we drink virgin blood because it sounds cool.
I think of it like this. If you were going to eat a sandwich, you would just enjoy it more if you knew no one had fucked it.
Zedheads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Karen.
And I'm Wendy.
It feels like we're back in time. This is the Walking Dead cast, episode 49. No, I'm just kidding. This is the Cast of Us, episode 612.
And this episode, we're covering the hilarious 2014 New Zealand vampire roommate mockumentary, What We Do in the Shadows.
Woo.
Ooh. Plus, we'll tell you the top five ways we cheer ourselves up.
Yeah, no particular reason. That's just a topic. Yeah. It's good for any time period.
Whiskey.
Welcome to the podcast, you guys. I'm so thrilled that you guys both wanted to do this. I kind of just threw it together at the last minute and I was happy you said yes and listener sent in comments and everything. So it's awesome.
Yay. Why are you wearing a jacket, Jason?
Because I'm in a cold place. It's snowing outside. See the snow? I'm in Colorado for a week, and I'm in this old house that was built in like 1890. And the owner's, the wife had Alzheimer's, and she had complications with it, and she died. And then her husband killed himself, and it's a sad story, and I'm here by myself for a week, and I'm freaking out. And the like heating comes on, and then the radiator in my room goes like this. And the first time I heard that, I was like, "Who is that? What is that?"
Yeah, is it oil heat by any chance? Because oil heat makes those creakings.
It's like a tap. It's more like somebody's fucking with me.
That sounds like oil heat to me.
And then just to top it off, the other day I was coming down the stairs and I missed, I thought I was on the last step, but I wasn't. So I just kind of fell a little bit and landed wrong on my leg. And I think I tore my calf. And so now I've just been limping around and So then when I get freaked out and I want to walk a little faster, I can't. So it's been quite a week. I'm actually having a great time, though, believe it or not.
Good. No, the only time I've ever seen a ghost was in Colorado. And that was last summer when a ghost touched me and it was weird.
Was it an inappropriate touch or was it just like a pat?
It was a caress.
Okay. It sounds nice.
It wasn't.
No,
it was non-consensual.
I've felt that before and I'm never like, it's always like, yeah, but what happens next? No.
I know. I said, I did not agree to this.
I'm calling protective consent. Services. Where were you in bed?
I was in a hotel in Denver, a super cool hotel. Denver has this really great old train station that they turned into this just really neat. They turned it into like there's restaurants and there's music and there's a hotel. It's still the big Union Station in Denver, but they kept this old building and it's just amazing. So we were staying in the old building of Union Station. So it wasn't a ghost. Who knows? But it touched something, caressed me. It was weird.
I know you and David love to go to like places that are marketed as haunted, right?
We do.
So you kind of got your wish. Was there any part of you that was like happy about that? Or was yes. Just like, I wish that hadn't happened?
No, I was delighted. I mean, afterwards, I was like, that was really cool. At the time, I was like, fuck, do I wake David up? Do I turn on the lights? And then I thought, what? Nothing good can happen if I make a big fuss about it. Just, you know, calm down and try to go to sleep. So I tried to calm down and eventually I went back to sleep.
When I fell off that step, I did hear someone chuckling in the corner.
So. Sure, it wasn't me.
It sounded just like that. Before we get into it, I wanted to ask you about your news that you had recently that was pretty momentous.
Yeah, we're moving to Pittsburgh, baby. I'm so excited. David got a great job. He's going to be working for the network that broadcasts the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it's a dream job for him. And Pittsburgh, we have lots of family in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, not lots of family, but that's where my dad comes from. And that's where his mom.
Well, anyone who's listened to this podcast long enough will remember you mentioning several times that you love Pittsburgh. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I heard you say that, I was like, oh, Karen's moving away, but that's the perfect place to go. She has to go somewhere.
It's a great town. It's a great town. It's hilly and lots of art and culture. There's a bunch of rivers around. There's lots to do. Three rivers. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. Do you know what the rivers are, Wendy?
Oh, I did at one point. I went to school sort of near there, about 2 hours north.
Monongahela, Allegheny, and they meet at the confluence to create the Ohio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that cool. Where one of the Romero was like Dawn yes. of the Dead film there?
Yes.
Is the big mall there, the Monroeville? Okay. Wow. That is very cool. All right. I'm going to have to come out and visit.
Yeah, you are.
That'd be cool.
It has some lovely areas. Erie is beautiful, just a little bit north of there. It's really incredible. Yeah. I went to a school in Clarion, which is in the middle of nowhere, but it's about 2 hours north of Pittsburgh. So lots of people, lots of friends that still live in Pittsburgh.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. That's cool. I'm happy for you guys.
Oh, I'm really excited. I'm also, you know, California is in my heart. And
yeah.
And so I imagine I'll come back someday.
Yeah.
I hope so. All right. Well, that's great. Let's move on to our topics. I put up a poll in the Podcastica Facebook group about which segment we should start with, what we do in the shadows or how we cheer ourselves up. It was 10% what we do in the shadows, 90% how we cheer ourselves up.
Oh, wow. So
apparently other people agree now is the time to be cheered up for some reason. So let's move into the top five things we do to cheer ourselves up, which I'm excited about. Wendy, you want to go first?
Sure. I live in a pretty wooded green area, and it's really easy. Like, I don't even have to get in my car. There's several different directions I could walk in for nice walks. I put my earpods on and listen to loud rock music and just watch the sights go by. I also live really close to a rails to trails, which is 27 miles of an old railroad trail that has been converted to hiking trails, which goes all the way up to Pennsylvania from Maryland. And I like to walk on there too. Always tons of dogs, and Terry O'Quinn loves that path when he's in town. I'm just saying. I've met him there on it.
Oh, really? You met him? Like, you had an interaction?
So cool. Yeah, me and my daughter, and she was a Lost fanatic. It was amazing. He's got a very good reputation in this area. Yeah, he's always really nice to people. So I really enjoy that, and it usually cheers me up. Gives me a little boost of endorphins.
Yeah, that's on my list too. Going in nature and exercising, you know, getting moving in nature and with, you know, with a podcast or with music, that's like endorphin city right there. That's my number one.
Yeah. I usually need music to keep me going. And then on my way home, I can listen to podcasts. Weird, but that's just what it is.
Because you got to go home no matter what, so you don't need motivation. Well, that is a good one. And man, sounds like a great place to go on a walk. So it makes me want to go out there. You could probably go almost all the way to Karen's new place.
Yep, there you go.
Yes, please.
What's your next one, Karen? First one.
Here, well, I'm going to just chime in and say, I mean, that's going out in nature and hiking or running with music or a podcast, that, to second Wendy's one, that's absolutely the same with me. I really enjoy, California has a lot of options when it comes to hiking. We can hike at the coast, which is easy in the Bay Area. You can go over and I love going over to Santa Cruz and searching for beach glass. That makes me really happy while listening to podcasts. I do that quite a bit, in fact. Or just finding like a beautiful running trail. There's some gorgeous ones around here. And yeah, that's, I'm absolutely there. So that was my first one too. So
you run just about every day, right? You still run?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I went to the Stanford Dish this morning. And it was absolutely beautiful. And one of the things about the Stanford Dish is when it's cold and you start at the bottom of the hill, the eucalyptus are really aromatic. And so you can really smell the eucalyptus as you're going up. And it's pretty amazing. And often if I go early enough, I can see coyotes and hear the coyotes too. And that's quite something. But always deer and sometimes turkeys.
There's a big, giant satellite dish at the top of this hill in Palo Alto, I guess, this town near us. And people go there and hike around on this trail, run on the trail.
The Stanford Dish. Yeah, yeah. I said it shorthand. Thank you for saying that it's just actually a giant satellite dish.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Okay. One of mine, I won't go in order because mine are not in any particular order, but just take a walk and listen to music. And when I'm feeling down about something, I almost always just want to go outside and walk around. It feels good to get a change of scenery, get a little exercise, and listen to music. Those three things are all crucial. The exercise is a good bonus because if you do it enough, it will also help you feel better. You know, I mean, you guys know that. But there was a long time when I was so into podcasts that I kind of just let music go by the wayside for years. When we first started Walking Deadcast, I looked back and realized, oh, I wasn't discovering or really listening to much music in like, I don't know, 8 years in there or something, 10 years. But recently, in recent years, I've made time for music again. I've discovered a lot of new music and some of it really floors me. There's this one song called Good Thing by Maple Glider. If you guys want an example of what I've been listening to, this Australian singer, it's beautiful. It starts off kind of sad, but it builds into this crescendo and I really love it. That's one of my favorites that I've found lately, but I've also been into Father John Misty.
Oh yeah.
Lately, Built to Spill, which is an older band, but I just discovered it. Me and Chad went to a concert the other night and it was so awesome. Foster the People had a new one out recently I've been getting into, 21 Pilots, Janelle Monáe, whole bunch. Weezer's always a staple, Spoon. But I mean, music, if you haven't been into music lately, I would recommend going back to it, because it really is. They say music is good for the soul, and it really is. It can really transform your vibe.
When I hear Father John Misty, I am transported back to being crammed inside a BMW in Scotland with Lucy and Peter driving, taking turns driving, and we're in the back seat and we're listening to their playlist, and their playlist rocked.
Yeah.
And they played a couple of great Father John Misty songs, and I hear it now and I'm like, yep, I'm back there.
Oh, that's amazing.
That was a great trip, by the way. That's another thing. If you want to get cheered up, go to Scotland and hang out with Lucy and Karen and David.
And Peter.
And Peter, of course, yeah.
Let me know the next trip that's scheduled that's for that. Happen.
It'll be $500 a person.
That's right.
Plus lodging.
That sounds like a deal.
No, that would be amazing to have you out there, too. It would be so much fun. Yeah. What's your next one, Wendy?
I really like cooking and occasionally baking. I find that it's a break from everything I normally do, from work and all my tasks. And I love like getting into a recipe and focusing on that and trying to do the best that I can. I would say my cooking is much more successful than my baking. I don't bake enough. And I think that's the problem. I think you really have to bake a lot to be a good baker. I just made a lemon cake the other day. And my husband was being really nice, I think, because it was not good. And he said it tasted like a scone. And I think he was trying to be nice. But that was not the consistency I was going for.
It's like a scone. Yeah.
Yeah. Cakes are not supposed to be like scones. But I really do enjoy cooking and baking when I have the time. And I can tell, like, when I'm feeling good, I cook and bake more often, you know?
Yep. And it helps to have a supportive family that will eat your baking mistakes. And I mean, I'm sure you're not making baking mistakes, but I make baking mistakes.
Yeah.
And David's so nice about it. He's always like, this is still great. I know it's not what you thought it was going to be, but it's still great. I don't know what you're talking about. And it's really nice. It makes me feel so good.
Yep.
Last Christmas, I made the cake that they show in the intro of the Great British Bake Off, you know, with the raspberries on top, and I left one out like they do on there. It turned out pretty good. It was just a little dry, I thought, but it was good.
Was it their recipe?
Yeah, that Paul Hollywood's recipe. You can find it online, and you have to convert because it's got some Britishisms in there with measurements and stuff.
And I learned the hard way that you can't trust Alexa to convert.
Yeah,
because her conversions are wrong. So don't do that.
What about you, Karen? What's next?
For my next one, I love a show that's a lot like the Great British Baking Show. The Great British Baking Show for sure makes me happy. Like that, it is without a doubt just the most wonderful, positive, happiest place on television, in my opinion. Yeah,
it is. Let me just say, if you haven't seen that and you want to be cheered up, just go watch an episode, and I can like 80-90% guarantee you're going to be lifted up by that. And I always forget every year. I'm like, yeah, I remember thinking this show made me feel good. I don't know. Let me try. And then I'm watching it and I'm like, oh my God, this is so great.
It really is. It's like the show I come home and rush to watch as soon as it's out.
Yep. Yep, exactly. On Fridays when it drops in the United States, David and I have Friday night dinners with Kathy and RJ, our neighbors, and then we come back and finish the night by watching Great British Baking Show. It's the best.
You're going to have to Zoom with them regularly or something.
I know. Yeah, we are.
So what's your thing that's like Bake Off? Okay. I'm so curious.
So it's like the Great British Baking Show, and it's called The Doghouse. Have either of you heard of it?
No.
I think I heard someone mention it, but I don't really know anything about it.
It is so great. So it is a show that's produced in, by, it's a Channel 4 show, mm-hmm. British Channel
Same
4.
Same channel, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it has a very similar vibe to the Great British Baking Show. It's like, I even think the narrator might be the same, or it's really, really similar. So what it is
it's dogfights. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's all dogfights.
Sorry. I'm drinking, so.
It's fabulous. It's a... there's a charity, an animal charity in Cambridgeshire called Woodgreen, and it's a home for disowned or neglected dogs. And so this is the description. Following the work of the dedicated staff members who are committed to matching their abandoned dogs with loving owners and a forever home. So it's like, and you get to know three different couples or three different families or three different people. So it's three different groups of people, and they're matched with a dog. And most often the matches take, but sometimes they don't. So it's fun to see, you know, okay, who's going to take the dog, who's not. But mm-hmm. the staff matches the people and their stories with dogs that are going to be a good match for them. And it's all very adorable. You get to sort of follow them as they get to know their dog. And it's just the most heartwarming thing. The people have issues like all humans do. And so you kind of get to know what the issues are, that, you know, maybe somebody has a health problem, maybe somebody lost a spouse, and the dog kind of fills that hole in their heart. It is the most heartwarming thing, and it's truly an antidote to what is happening in the world right now. So if you want your to feel like the world's going to be okay and that people are actually good and so are dogs, even if you don't like dogs, even if you're not a dog person, it is the best show out there. So The Doghouse on Max.
If you don't like dogs, just go away. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously.
What is wrong with you?
I'm putting it on my list.
Yeah, I can imagine that being even more just emotionally engaging than Bake Off, because you got little doggies.
Yeah. I've cried before. It is so beautiful. I always end up talking to the television. Poor David. I always end up saying, "Take that dog! No, take the dog!" Yeah.
I would be really interested, yeah, to see what it was like when the relationship didn't quite work out. But of course, I'm sure when it really works out, that's always the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't try to whitewash anything either. You get to see, you know, maybe it didn't work out because maybe the dog, you know, for whatever reason, wasn't a good match. But they try to find later on, they try to find a good match for the dog. So, yeah, I'd be interested to hear if any of you out there listening to this, if any of you watch it, I'd love to hear what you think.
So wait, you said it was on Channel 4, but is it on Netflix?
Oh, Max. HBO Max. Max.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm definitely adding it to my list. My father would like that too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. My next one is the reason why I've been making off-color remarks, and that's whiskey. And honestly, I mean, I didn't really know how to drink whiskey right when I was younger. I would just do a shot, you know, and you drink it so you can get a buzz. And then when the Game of Thrones series of whiskeys came out like 5 years ago, and I bought them all up, and I started watching YouTube videos, and they were all about taking your time, sipping it, really teasing out the smells and the flavors and things. And so I started getting into it then, but then I just kind of dropped off. But then when we went to Scotland, this summer, me and Karen and David and Lucy and Peter, I have been going through a whiskey. We went to a distillery and a Talisker, my favorite whiskey. And so I've been going through a whiskey phase since then, mostly Scotch, and I'm learning all about it. And Scotch is made from 100% malted barley, where something like bourbon has at least 51% corn. So it's different. And also, Scotch has a wider range of flavors than bourbon, partly because bourbon has to be matured or aged in new American oak barrels, but Scotch can be matured in ex-bourbon barrels, ex-sherry, like barrels that used to contain bourbon or sherry or rum or other things. And Scotch can be peated, where the fermentation process is halted by heating it over burning peat, which is basically dried decayed plant matter from bogs and marshes in Scotland, and it gives this smoky, sometimes vegetal flavor. There's just all kinds of different flavors that you can tease out of different whiskeys: chocolate, coffee, brown sugar, berry, orchard fruits, medicinal quality. You get into some like funkier things, medicinal or smoky or ashy, tartness, all these different types. And if you go on YouTube, you'll just see people pouring over it, teasing out the flavors and smells. And so I've been buying all these different kinds of whiskeys. I hope Karen and David can come, you guys can come over before you guys leave and do a tasting. And then I recently discovered American single malt. So American whiskey is made from mostly corn and rye, but in recent years, the American single malt category has been taking off. And so that's more like scotch made with malted barley, but they have their own American character. And so I'm in Colorado right now, so I got some Colorado made Stranahan's American single malt from a distillery in Denver, and I'm drinking it right now, and it's really good.
Oh, that's
I also want to say just a little PSA, you know, I'm trying to be careful not to go overboard because I have serial obsessions. So I'll like really get into something for a while. And so lately with this whiskey, I've been having a dram, which is basically a shot almost every night, but I try to, okay, just one. And I think even that will die down over time. But I think, you know, it is making me happy to have this hobby. And actually it's fun to have a drink, and that's cheers me up, but I don't want to become dependent on it or go overboard with it. You know, it's all diminishing returns after a while, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But it's been really fun to get into.
Can I just shout out to the Whiskey Society in Edinburgh that we went to with Peter and Lucy, and it was super cool. They did some, basically you're doing like a blind tasting when you're there, which is super great. You are ordering not by the name of the distiller, you're ordering by taste.
Characteristics, yeah.
Right.
Like I want a really smoky one, or a really like more alcohol, higher alcohol volume.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this big, like old English, well, I guess we're in Scotland, but it feels like, you know, with like, I don't know, how would you describe it? Like there's violinists playing over in the corner, and yeah, it's like a place where you would smoke a cigar in your suit, and you know.
Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah, that's the Whiskey Society tasting room in Edinburgh. If you'd all like whiskey, that is the mothership.
They had great haggis too.
They did. Oh, I had vegan haggis. It was outrageously good. I think I talked about it on a podcast.
So cool.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
All right, whose turn is it? Wendy's turn.
All right, well, I'm just going to piggyback off of Karen and because dogs was definitely one of mine. But I'll extend that to pets in general. I've always had a dog pretty much my whole life. I had a family dog. And then when Brian and I got married, we ended up with a stray dog. And then we had a golden retriever. And now we have Brody that we adopted as a senior dog from a rescue. And my daughter has three dogs and they are our grandchildren. And we watch them frequently and pet sit, and they're a big part of our lives, and we take them everywhere we go. And, you know, just, I don't know how you'd get through life without having dogs in your life.
Oh God, isn't that true?
Yes.
It really is true. And for me, I have a cat that's a lot like a dog, but yeah, mm-hmm. Not having animals in your life, I honestly, they make life so much more rich. And I mean, my life has been made better in ways I can't even describe because of my cute little weird cat.
And people who've been sort of wondering what Karen's been doing since she left the podcast, one thing is you've been volunteering at, what is it?
Yeah. So I'm doing, that's actually one of my points is volunteering. So volunteering will cheer anyone up. I mean, honestly, if you want a shot of happiness in your world, you should definitely volunteer. I do two different places. I volunteer at a cat rescue place called Town Cats, which I love. I also volunteered for 2.5 years before they finally broke down and hired me at a farm called Jasper Ridge Farm. It's an animal therapy center. And no, that doesn't mean therapy for animals. It means that the animals are engaging in therapy for humans that need it. So we have young people that come with some various disabilities, or maybe even older people with various disabilities or other sort of things. We've got veterans, military veterans with PTSD who come and do horseback riding. We do therapeutic riding. We do this great program that I'm going to do tomorrow morning called Horse Buddies, where we get kids from the local schools who are in various levels of ability that come and ride on Fridays. And man, it makes me so damn happy. And the kids, the charge they get from holding a chicken or being on a horse or petting a sheep or a goat, it is like nothing else. And those things, being at a cat rescue place and being at this animal therapy center, this will shake off anything bad. Last week, in particular, last Tuesday, I was not feeling super great. So I came into work on Wednesday feeling awful. And then I went to work, and we brought these animals to a local high school, and which was pre-planned. We had planned this like a month in advance. And boy, the young people plus our animals equals like outrageous amounts of endorphins.
That's cool. Because yeah. I remember I talked to you, I think, before, and you're like, oh God, I got to go do this thing because you were feeling awful. And then I'm glad to hear it turned out great.
It did. It really did. I didn't know how I was going to do it. Like, I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to do it? I did it, and I didn't have to fake anything. It was all just happy.
That's awesome.
I work at an inpatient hospice, and we have multiple cats and dogs that come visit us. We have a mini goat that comes on the regular. We have a mini horse that comes. We've brought people's horses to the hospice, you know, to say goodbye. I mean, we're big on animals, and I love just like getting up out of my office to go somewhere and suddenly there's a dog
Yeah.
That's a big perk to working there.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Yeah. So your coworkers can bring in their dogs?
Well, these are all pet therapy that comes to visit us and Pets on Wheels that comes. I mean, we have so many that are regulars and have been coming for years. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's so smart.
I've always been a cat person. I grew up, all right. Lived on a dairy for a couple of years when I was a kid, and there were like 9 stray cats out there, and I would try to tame them. And now I have these 2 Siberian cats, Ash and Katiana, and Ash is ashy colored and just so fluffy and huge. He weighs like 20 pounds and biggest cat I've ever had. And Katiana is kind of a little troublemaker, and she's very playful, and I love them so much. And every morning when I wake up, they're waiting for me. Where's my food? You know, I give them wet food in the morning. But whenever I pick Katiana up and I just put her over my shoulder, and she's a little bit like, I'm not sure if I like this right now. And then I just start petting her, and I can tell that she likes it because I can then feel her claws start to dig into my shoulder. Like she's relaxed and starting to like paw at me, you know, and then I'll hear the purring going. Yeah.
Yep. I remember that. I had a little white cat, and he was, you know, he was a rescue. He wasn't like a snuggly cat, but I was about the only person that could pick him up, and he would tolerate it, you know?
Yeah.
But he wasn't like a snuggly cat, but he showed his affection in in ways, you know, that we got to know. He was adorable.
Every day I go, I'll like lay on my couch for a little bit and just surf the net on my phone. And almost every day, all of a sudden I feel, because Ash jumps up there and then he'll just lay down and start pawing at me.
That's right. You're not doing anything.
You're such a cat daddy.
I love them so much. And I like dogs, but I'm way more of a cat person. I always have been.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you talking about Jeff.
Yes. He's probably my favorite cat I've ever had. A little Persian cat. A little cream colored Persian cat. He's so
Did cute. You name him Jeff?
Yeah. If I got a girl, I was going to name her Linda. All right, my turn, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So my next one is being around my kids. And I like always wanted to be a parent growing up, but I thought, well, I'll be a parent if I'm in the situation where it's a good, stable situation. And I didn't know if I was going to find that for a while, but I eventually did. And I started at an older age. I had Nico we had Nico when I was 40, and then 45 with Bodhi. I always loved being a parent, but for some reason, I think I'm enjoying it more than ever lately. I've noticed, I think it's because I've just started realizing that, oh my God, these days are fleeting. So I better slow down and just like appreciate my kids, spend more time with them. Nico's 13 and if you listen to this podcast, you remember when he was born back then. And now he's getting so tall. He's half Asian. So I didn't know if he was going to be tall, but I think he might end up being taller than me. His voice is lower than mine right now. But he's just super smart. And I can joke and laugh with him and talk to him about deeper subjects now. And like, I've been trying to teach him lessons without being too overbearing. So I drive him to school, and about every third day or so, I'll just tell him a story from my life or something like that. Like I try to teach him to go for big goals, but not be too attached to the outcome. Like when I said, I'm going to try to be a zombie on The Walking Dead, but you know, I never really thought that would happen, but it ended up happening. So I to tell him, you know, it doesn't hurt to try, stuff like that. And just recently, Jenny and I started watching Breaking Bad with him, which, you know, seems like it might be a little mature, but Chad told me he did it with his 2 kids. So I thought, all right, I'll try. And he likes it a lot. He's really into it. And we really try to make sure to reiterate that one of the lessons of the show is don't ever do crystal meth. You know, I just like keep driving that home. Just so you know, whenever there's like really skeezy characters who are all like, don't get all like wrapped up in Walt. Just keep watching to see what happens to him. But he told me his favorite character is Hank, which I thought that was, I was totally surprised by that. Kind of interesting.
That's, Fantastic. He might be my favorite character too. I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
And he doesn't start out that way, but he becomes one of your favorite characters.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And we last a couple of years ago, we went out to Albuquerque and we toured a bunch of different Breaking Bad sites, and Nico didn't know about the show then. So we might go back out just so he can actually enjoy it this time. We saw Hank and Marie's house and everything. It's cool. And Bodhi is 7 and he's so cute right now. He's so wide-eyed and he's got so many questions and he's just eager to be involved and help with everything. And like, he's been wanting to help me make breakfast. And sometimes my first instinct is like, hey, this is my quiet time. I'm listening to a podcast. Just go wait somewhere else and I'll tell you when it's done. But lately, like I said, I've been sort of like, no, I need to spend more time with them and be present. So I'm like, let's get him in there whipping the eggs and peeling oranges and stuff. And he just loves, he's so proud when he gets to help. And I'm away from them for a week right now in Colorado and I'm really missing them. I can't wait to get back.
Oh, that's really nice.
And I know it changes, Jason, but I had a lot of problems. Like when Lainey went to college, that was my youngest, like just adjusting, but I'm so happy and proud with them, and it does change, and you do miss when they're little, but also it's so amazing to watch them become, you know, fully formed adults. Mm-hmm. And I'm so
your
proud
kids are
of
great
of
too
them. They yeah. are I
and
mean,
we got to do a podcast. Which one do we podcast
Cassie
with?
Cassie, that's my oldest. Yeah,
and that was awesome, and I'd love to have her on another time again. That'd be so cool.
Yeah she's great.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Thanks. Because I am feeling like pre-anxious about my kids leaving and pre-anxious about my cats dying.
I mean, that's all legit.
David and I are just in denial about our cat dying. We just decided that we're all going to die together in bed when we're like 100. So it's fine. Just
peacefully
tell yourself
in your sleep.
That's right.
Okay. All right, who's next? I think it's Wendy.
So I didn't pick my children. Now I'm feeling really guilty. But I'm going to go for like retail therapy. After the election on Wednesday, I was feeling pretty low about life. And my husband willingly went to Home Goods, which is not something he normally does. And we got something that was totally frivolous and I had wanted, but like, I was like, that's dumb to buy. And so I bought 2 cheap Christmas trees for outside of my house with some pretty decorations and like just that little boost of like something that you're going to see every day that's going to be pretty. Made me feel better about the situation. So Just sometimes it doesn't have to be anything extravagant, but sometimes just buying something that makes you feel good.
Yeah, treat yourself.
They're pretty. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's all they have to be. Yep. That is lovely. I love that. And sometimes it's just fun to also lose yourself shopping and poking around. I like. Mm-hmm. I also like thrift stores.
Love thrift stores.
Oh, man, I'm a big thrift store girl.
Yes.
One of my proudest days was my sister-in-law doesn't love thrift stores like I do. And one of my proudest moments was taking my niece, who I think at the time she was like maybe 16, and I took her to her first thrift store and she was like, whoa, there's all these clothes around here and they don't cost that much. And I'm like, yep. Breathe it in, Leah. This is the beauty of thrifting. And it's like a treasure hunt. It's a treasure hunt for something that doesn't cost much. And the beauty of like all this stuff is that, you know, it's pre-owned and, you know, go ahead. There's no guilt involved. You just go and find some. And she was so cute. She found a couple of pieces of clothing and she's like, I can't believe this. All for like $15 and I got all these things. It was amazing. Yeah.
Yep. I frequently go and my kids aren't into fashion really, but I like fashion. And so like, I'll see things that are like this crazy good deal and I'll be like taking pictures of it, shipping them things. And I'm like, you don't understand. This is a great label. They don't care, but they appreciate it.
That's a good one. Yeah. For me, like I get happiest about new tech, but I can't afford to buy it that often, yeah. You know, but when it is time to get a new like computer or new phone or whatever, I'm like, oh, this is so great.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so last one I'm going to say is my friends and my community. They I have leaned on my friends and my family and my whole little built community pretty hard the last week, and they have come through wonderfully. Last weekend, Kathy and RJ invited us to come to their cabin up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and some other friends, Laura and Scott, came up there, and the guys brought instruments, guitars, and David brought his keyboard, and we played music and sang songs together, and we had dinner, and we had the fireplace going, and it was just about perfect underneath these giant redwood trees. And it was just a magical night. And being with friends, being with family, it always cheers me up.
Yeah, me too. Actually, that's one. I have two more. And one of those on my list is talking with friends. And I mean, just recently. So we're doing this because, frankly, a lot of us aren't happy about the election and we're feeling really bummed out about it. And I know some of you guys feel fine about it, but there are times, I'm sure, when there's something in your life that's not going well. And sometimes when you're bummed out, it can seem like you're all alone in it, you know, or you're just kind of stewing in it. And the other night we had a get together on Zoom just to check in about how we were feeling about the election. And we vented a lot and we also ended up laughing a lot and just kind of shooting the shit about some random things that had nothing to do with it. And it just felt really good to be among friends, to know and feel that we aren't alone in it, and to hear other people expressing similar feelings, and to have people speak up about actions that we can take or just ways of thinking about it that are kind of inspiring. I think I saw a few people on the Zoom were like, oh my God, this is so good because I just haven't been talking to anybody. So this was great.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good idea if you're feeling upset like that, to reach out to somebody who you know you can trust, you know, and just talk to somebody and not on text, you know, either in person or on the phone or whatever, because voice has a lot of information in it that doesn't come across on text.
Yeah. And even Zoom, it feels like even though you're not with somebody, it feels like you're together. And that really helped me. I was present for that. And
yeah,
that really helped me, I think, a lot.
And my whole life, my friendships have been really important to me, to my well-being. I didn't have the best environment in my childhood home. And so I spent a lot of time at friends' houses. And, you know, it could be reaching out specifically to talk to someone about something that's bothering me. But more often than not, it was just being around friends and having fun, like Karen was saying, cutting loose or just chilling and relaxing and laughing. And it's just the best. Like at some point in my life, I remember thinking, okay, I figured out what the best thing in life is. It's having fun with friends and having joy and laughing. Yep. And that's kind of what it's all about. And everything else is just to make sure that you can have that happen too.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. This was my last one as well. I wrote, you know, enjoying the company of people that feel safe and supportive. And I feel like, you know, in my later age, my later life, I've carved out small friend groups that are really important to me. Like I have a group from my current company of people that, you know, you just know your people when you see them, and we get together and we don't advertise it. And we're just this supportive group that helps prop each other up. I have a group of coworkers from my last company, which are also including two very good friends that I started my podcast about seniors with. And they're like, you know, they're just people that I know if I called instantly, they would be there for me. I have a ride or die group of friends from nursing school. We're going to Disney together in January. I have a group from college that I get together with. They're really important. And also, like, I'm just going to, you know, plug the Zedhead group. It's been 8 years now. They've been really important to me. I can't imagine what my support network would be like without them. And it really has helped me. Like I said, 10 years ago was when my youngest daughter went to college and when, you know, my life changed dramatically. And nobody really prepares you for adjusting to that. And all of carving out those little friend groups helped me a lot. And I feel like I love the village that I've built up in that time.
It's beautiful. That's really lovely.
Yeah. And the Zed heads are in there. Like we just came, just went to Texas with them in October and already can't wait for the next meetup.
Yeah.
Chicago.
We're talking Chicago, and Karen, you're going to come join us, right? Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be
because
cool.
Pittsburgh
You'll be
is
pretty
not...
close. Yeah.
Yes.
And did you see like Lucy might be out there?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I will break up a wedding if I have to get a hug for Lucy. Like, if that's what it takes. I'm sorry, I objected.
There's any reason why this person, this guest, should not be at this wedding. Raise your hand. Okay, my last one is podcasting, and I was like, I needed one more for my list, and then I'm like, oh duh, like so many times when I have been down or stewing on something and I have a podcast and I'm like, oh boy, how am I going to do this? And like 5 minutes in, I'm just having a blast. And I can always count on podcasting to cheer me up. It's kind of the same thing as talking with friends, you know, that we've already been talking about. It's a different form of that, but it's similar, but also it just occupies my mind. I'm focused on things that I really enjoy and talking with people that I like and joking around, mixing it up. And you having you guys, listeners out there, just knowing that you're listening to this and enjoying it is really gratifying, and that you're writing in and interacting with us. It's a total joy. And the rest of podcasting is pretty fun too, like figuring out fun things to do for the Patreon call-in shows and the podcast and the meetups and the game nights and all that. And even the editing, like I'm enjoying that more than I used to. That's a whole different part of it where it's all solitary, but it's fun to listen to the podcast that we just recorded and to sit there and fine tune it and make it smoother and take out the some of the asides and stuff. And I get pretty lost in it. So it's all good. It all helps me forget about anything that might be bothering me.
Nice.
I enjoy it too. I mean, there's a reason we keep doing it. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's connection. That's the important thing. And podcasting, it's not just connecting with those three people that you're podcasting with. It feels greater than that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Along those lines, really quickly, I want to say there are a couple, I'd like to shout out some podcasts. I mean, obviously everything, all the Zedhead podcasts, 100%. But this last week, I've also listened to some other podcasts that have made me feel really, really, really good. Pop Culture Happy Hour always makes me feel great. And I've gotten a lot of solace this last week, leaning heavily on the Crooked Media podcasts. They make me feel great.
Yeah, I listen to them too. Well, mostly
Pod Save
America.
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure I was going to want to listen to Pod Save America, but when I did, I felt better right away.
Yeah, yeah.
Just knowing they're like still in the fight. Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That was amazing. We got a few listener responses, more than I thought we would, given that we just decided to do this yesterday. So let's go through those. We can do the same order.
All right. First, we have Dina Karatsis. No top fives for me. I'm taking it one day at a time. Yesterday, I drove to Salem in my little yellow Beetle while blasting the Misfits, then came home. Lit a peat fire and talked books with my kid. That sounds like a lot of great things to
me.
Thank you.
And similar to what we've talked about, music, spending time with your kids, lighting a peat fire. No. Well, with the whiskey, the peated whiskey. Yeah. Were you peating some whiskey? Let me know.
This one's from Catherine Peters, who writes, I cheer myself up by watching horror movies and shows while building Lego. I finished 4 sets since last Tuesday. That's amazing.
She's really getting into it now. Yeah, that is really cool. I want to know more about the Legos. Like, how involved is this? And where do you display them all around your house? Let us know. I love building Legos.
Oh, me too.
We have a couple people in the group that build Legos. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No shock here.
I was just like, somebody put out this meme that said, you know, remember the ship in Spaceballs that the main character, it looked like a Winnebago with wings?
Yes.
And then the ship in Mandalorian, it was like sort of teasing that,
that
they did it better in Spaceballs or something like
yeah.
that. And then I sent that to Chris and Rich because we did the Mandalorian podcast together, and I know Chris loves the Razor Crest ship in Mandalorian, and then he had the Lego set of it, and then Rich wrote back and goes, oh my god, I just got this Lego set, and it was the Lego set of the Spaceballs ship that he just built.
Oh, that's so funny.
awesome.
Anyway, Becky Anderson says, ways I cheer myself up: watch cat videos. That's a good one. Eat an edible. Nice. Blast my badass bitches playlist and dance around. I can totally picture Becky doing that. Watch my favorite.
We need that playlist.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Becky and I, we just had our first podcast, me and Becky and Penny. We did top 5 90s TV shows.
Oh, how it's fun.
In the Patreon feed, if any patrons want to hear that on the Zed Hit
Show. Yeah, it's in my list. Mm-hmm.
She says, watch my favorite TV comedy shows. Right now, the only comedy show I'm really watching is What We Do in the Shadows, which we're going to be talking about that movie. But that's so great, such a great show.
Oh, so good.
And Snuggles with my husband and our fur babies.
It's
nice.
That's lovely.
Chris LeBeau says, top 5 things I do to cheer myself up. Fortify myself with a whiskey or two like Lucy.
Or Jason.
Bash fear with a friend. That's Fear the Walking Dead. Pet my cat. Go running and pretend I am being chased by zombies or stormtroopers. I think zombies are more dangerous. And listen to your podcasts.
Aw. That's lovely. Penny Lennox says, nothing has as fast an effect on my mood as music. If I'm feeling bleh, something I can sing and dance to will perk me up for most of the time. Some very effective songs for this are Everybody by Backstreet Boys, Murder on the Dance Floor by Sophie Ellis Bextor, and Cold Heart by Dua Lipa and Elton John. Another good tactic is a shower. It just resets my head like a new day. Also, playing with a small child makes you feel in the moment, and making art. Those are great suggestions.
Yeah, and yeah. I would recommend doing multiple of those at the same time. So put on Everybody by Backstreet Boys and take a shower with a child.
And paint at the same time.
Wait, maybe not. Karen Shee says, ways to cheer myself up. I've had the luxury to take long meditative walks during golden hour. It definitely helps me to decompress. Nature is scientifically restorative for the soul.
True.
Music has always been an ally in times of deep sadness and trouble. Hot showers also help. There's a lot of common themes here. Also, as a water conservationist, Karen may disapprove of long hot showers. Maybe in times of desperation.
Yeah, exactly. If it makes you feel better, do it.
Unfortunately, I also eat my feelings, or I'll steep them in a hot cup of coffee and a good fiction book to take my mind off of the world. That's very poetic. Same with movies. Anyway, I think we all have to hold our dear friends close. This Zedhead community is a salve. But also, I want to encourage people to never close your circle for too long and stay curious and hopeful. Local communities especially need help now. I am getting the permits now to host a block party for my street so that neighbors can get to know one another as people.
What a great idea.
I know. If we remember Carl Sagan's pale blue dot quote, we're all in this together and we've weathered worse. There's no event horizon for enacting kindness and empathy. Thanks for doing this podcast, y'all. Sending love.
Karen always writes like a poet.
I know. Yeah, she's a great writer.
Yes, she is.
That's pretty cool, Karen. It's inspiring.
Yeah, it is.
It sounds great. The block party sounds amazing.
Yeah. She has a beautiful heart.
Okay, now we're moving on to the second segment, which is we're going to talk about What We Do in the Shadows, the movie. Why? Because I was just thinking, we talk about shows and movies a lot. What we tend to do horror, but we want to be cheered up. What's the movie? Oh, that popped right into my head. What We Do in the Shadows. If you watch that, you will also be cheered up. So let me read a plot summary courtesy of ChatGPT, and then we'll start talking about it. It says, What We Do in the Shadows is a mockumentary horror comedy that follows four vampire roommates living in modern-day Wellington, New Zealand. Directed by Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement, the film chronicles the daily lives and struggles of these centuries-old vampires as they navigate mundane challenges like paying rent, managing household chores, and dealing with flatmate disagreements. The main characters are Viago, a polite, old-fashioned vampire, Vladislav, the intense and seductive medieval vampire, Deacon, the rebellious young vampire, and Peter, a Nosferatu-like elder who lives in the basement. Their lives are thrown into chaos when they accidentally turn a young human, Nick, into a vampire, introducing him and his human friend, Stu, to their supernatural world. Nick's carelessness nearly exposes their vampire community, leading to a showdown with local werewolves and internal conflicts among the vampires.
They're werewolves, not swearwolves.
Not swearwolves. So how did you guys like this movie in general?
It's so good. I loved it. It's one of my favorites.
I had never seen it before. I watched it last night. Wow. And it made me smile. You know, it's been a tough week or a week and a half. And it made me smile. It was really incredibly light and amusing, and I really liked it.
Yeah, so I'd say we recommend you watch it. It, even though we usually say the recommendations before any spoilers, and I just read a total spoilery plot synopsis, but that's irrelevant because it's all about just laughing and the comedy. So if you haven't seen it, yeah, I definitely recommend watching it. I see it's not on any like streaming platforms where you don't have to pay extra, but it's like $3 to rent it on, you know, Hulu or Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon too.
So
I know I'm always saying this with movies, but it's because of my own deficits, but it's 90 minutes long, which is really, I mean, for me, that's about the right amount of time for a movie.
I was happy to see that too.
Yes.
This movie came out 10 years ago already, and I saw it in the theater and loved it. And the reason I saw it is because I loved Flight of the Conchords on HBO, and I knew that Jemaine Clement was involved in Taika Waititi, who were both part of, you know, involved in that show, and also Rhys Darby. And so I was totally in, and I loved it. And I think I may have only seen it once, maybe twice, but years and years ago. And so all I remembered was that I loved it, and it was a vampire roommate comedy, and that's it. I remembered one other detail with Anton the werewolf saying he was the alpha male, which
I don't know how they played it so straight. Like that alone was just, I couldn't stop giggling.
Funny. I know. Yeah. But that's the only thing I remembered. That's the only detail. And so then when the post-credit scene, you know, did you watch the end and Deacon comes in and he's hypnotizing the audience saying, you will not remember the last hour and a half. You will forget the contents of this movie. It kind of blew my mind. I was like, I guess that worked on me.
What movie?
But I was, yeah, what are we talking about? But I was really happy that it held up because I love the show, and I was like, is it going to be as good? And I just loved it. So yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
So do you have points, Wendy?
I have a couple points.
Okay, I do. I don't think you do, right, Karen? So do you want to just kind of do color commentary as we go through our points?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Why don't you go first, Wendy?
I just wanted to say I am Viago. Like, I would absolutely be organizing chore charts and family game nights. This is, in any situation, I would still go back to that. Like, I just know myself. And so I just couldn't. I just got the biggest giggle and pleasure out of watching Viago.
That's Taika Waititi's character, right?
It's the dandy.
Yeah, that's Taika Waititi. Yes. Did you know that? Yeah, that's
him. Yes. I just loved it. I thought it was just amazing. And and I loved how he was, you know, just trying to make every situation just a little nicer, more polite, more civilized, prettier. Yeah, it's great.
And I loved when, I forget which one, was it Vlad or who's the other one? Deacon said, oh, he was a dandy when he got turned, so he gets a little fussy.
Yes, I loved all their responses to him.
My first one is the show versus the movie, the TV show. I saw one listener said they had only seen the TV show and they don't see how this movie could compare to it. And then another listener said the reverse. They only saw the movie and they were reluctant to watch the show. They're both great. They're in the same universe, but the movie set in Wellington, New Zealand, and the show's in Staten Island, New York. And they both they come from the same people. Taika Waititi and Jemaine Clement directed the movie. They were producers on the show, and Taika Waititi directed a few episodes of the show. Jemaine Clement was in a couple episodes. So you see his character in the show a little bit. I wish we'd seen more of these characters in the show. Characters where I feel like they took inspiration for the show. Vlad said about Viago, he was an 18th century dandy, so he can be fussy. And I think Nandor, even though he's a warrior, he channels that a little bit sometimes. The fussy guy, you know?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Deacon's familiar Jackie is similar to Guillermo in the show, basically a good-natured slave who wants to be a vampire and keeps getting put off all the time. Which I thought it was kind of funny that she wants to be a vampire and then you see her home life and she's just got these kids at home. And then at the end she gets to be a vampire and her husband, she's like, I love you. And he goes, I love you too. And she goes, great, but I am your master, okay? Yeah. And then the deacon guy, he says, because it's like documentary style, so he's talking to the camera. He says, when you're a vampire, you become very sexy. And he motions at himself like, see? And that totally reminds me of Laszlo.
Yeah, yeah, definitely parallels for sure.
They took some archetypes. So yep. What do you guys think? Which is better, the movie or the show?
Different, but both great in different ways. I loved the movie and I was worried that the show wouldn't hold up, and the show is fan-freaking-tastic. The show, because it's been, I think they're on season six?
Final season, yep, halfway through.
Final season, yeah. And they've been able to get into some crazy aspects of their world, and it's freaking brilliant. It's always brilliant. I'm doing a rewatch right now just because I need cheering up. And so I've just finished season one, episode seven, where these vampires come to the vampire council. So Viago, Vladislav, and Deacon all show up.
Oh, they're all there. Okay.
They're all there. That's so cool. And it's hilarious. They do a little dance first, and then they are themselves during the vampire council. And it's so funny.
I remember because you and I covered a couple of episodes or seasons in our Jason and Karen show, which we used to do for the Patreon thing. And those are still in the feed. If you guys want to listen to them, just search on What We Do in the Shadows in our Patreon. But the funniest thing that I remember is they had some voodoo guy who needed to resurrect somebody, and he was doing his chants, but it was like, a Scooby-Doo-Bop, let's make him come back to life. And there's like, I think he's just scat singing.
Yeah, Benedict Wong, I think, is the actor who does that. He's so great. Yeah, and they turn out to have this cool little zombie club.
That's right. That's good. Yeah. Wendy, do you have a preference?
Maybe it was just what I needed at the moment, but the movie's super light. I liked it. Yeah.
I would say the movie is funnier than an average episode of the show, but when the show is great, it's better. And also with the show, we get to know the characters over time, so we feel more attached to them. But I just all said and done think they're both pretty much equally great. And I think the listeners who wrote in and didn't want to watch one because they weren't sure it would be as good as the other one, you should give it a shot. That's my suggestion. I do want to say before I go on to anything else that one of the Zed heads that we mentioned her earlier, Becky Anderson, she just started a podcast about what we do in the shadows. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And Karen and I did those episodes for Patreon too.
Ooh, that's good to know.
Yeah. It's called What's On Tonight, I think.
Is it on the Podcastica network?
Mm-mm. It's Pirate Core, which is Mark's network.
Oh, neat. Cool.
Yeah. So do you have any more points, Wendy?
I really loved how they did the photo montages all throughout the movie of them through history. And I just couldn't stop chuckling. Like every time it was really funny. And I thought they took a lot of time and care to do all of those things. Really enjoyed that.
The TV show does that too.
Yes. And the aesthetic of the show is so well done. It's a goofy comedy, but it's got a horror movie aesthetic with like really vulgar medieval drawings. And and also just paying respect to the fact that there are hundreds or thousands of years old. So yeah, it's got this historical feel to it, seeing them throughout history, but presented in a really artistic way and grungy kind of. And I feel like also just the horror scenes, when it does occasionally get scary, it's kind of dark and camera shaky, and they put some money into the special effects and stuff like that. So I think with the show and the movie, that really adds a lot to it, that the comedy writing is funny, but it's the marriage of this mundane like roommate comedy with this horror aesthetic, you know, that's really really well done. It works so well together.
It does. It really, really does.
And they take things that like Vlad the Impaler, it's not funny, right? But they turn it into this hilarious thing that's really funny. So I just couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah, it's like they present these things that are horrific and then they make a joke out of it, so it takes the sting out of it. And I mean, we love horror movies, but when you want to feel cheered up, maybe a horror movie isn't always the best thing. I know Jamie Dimmock would disagree with that, but for some people, it's nice to sort of have the sting taken out of it and just be able to laugh more, you know? And that's kind of what I feel like this does. Like, and I think the main thing about the show is kind of like putting together vampire tropes with this roommate situation comedy. And so like, the first scene is this vampire arm coming out of a coffin to hit the snooze on the alarm, you know, or the whole roommate flatmate meeting where Viago's going around rounding up his flatmates and he opens the door and the first guy hisses at him at first, but then it's normal. And, oh, how was your night last night? I transformed into a dog and had sex. Cool. So then the meeting's about chores and Deacon not doing his share of the dishes for 5 years. And Vlad says, I'm so embarrassed when I bring people over here. And Deacon goes, what does it matter? You kill them. And Vlad shrugs his shoulders like, oh yeah, that's a good point.
But you know, Viago just wants it all to look nice. Yeah. And he wants them to have a good time.
I mean,
I think they had a good time.
I mean, you're watching this and you see that big pile of dishes and it totally gives me flashbacks to when I had 3 male roommates and we had a big pile of dishes like that and I was pissed.
And I love how they are playing on that. That was one of the quotes that I wrote down was, it's unacceptable to have so many bloody dishes lying around. And you think they're saying bloody as in the Britishism slur, but no, they're actually bloody dishes.
Yes.
I thought that was great. That's kind of
like that, taking the things that are usually horrific and making them goofy. And another one I had down is Deacon telling about when he was first transformed and there was this horrible creature that forced him to suck his blood and said, now you're a vampire. And he goes, and that was Peter. And now we're still friends. And he's like right over there.
I also liked when he was talking to, again, Viago, I'm obsessed. He was talking about putting towels down before you killed somebody.
Yeah.
And he said, we're vampires. We don't put towels down.
And then when he brought a girl in to kill her, and he was trying to make sure she had a nice time, so at least she had a nice time. And then he like just kind of put some paper under her feet.
Yep. I can't wait to watch it again when I can really soak it in.
One thing I loved is that in the What We Do in the Shadows universe, all the vampire tropes are true. You know how sometimes when a movie comes along, they'll say, oh no, garlic doesn't have any impact. But in What We Do in the Shadows, they're all true. And they usually use them for comedic effect. So I'm going to go through them. You can't go out in the sun. And so Nick is like pissed that he can't sunbathe. They can be killed by a wooden stake to the heart. And Vlad, when they find that a vampire hunter has invaded their home and there's these stakes, and he's like impressed that he turned a regular table leg into a stake. And he goes, do you think he hand sanded that? Or they have to drink blood. And so when Nick eats a French fry, which they call chips, and vomits blood and gets pissed that he can't eat his favorite food anymore, he's like, that's it. I'm over being a vampire. Or they're immortal, so they always have out of date fashion and ideas about the world, especially in the show. They do that a lot. So much fun.
Yep.
They can't see their reflection. This was one of my favorite parts of the movie. So they have to like, they want to go out and look good, but they have to give each other feedback because they can't see themselves in the mirror.
That's right.
They shapeshift. So when Deacon gets mad at Nick for telling everyone he's a vampire, they both get all up in each other's face, and then they turn into bats and start fighting. And Vlad goes, ooh, bat fight.
I also really liked the friend who was digging up victims for them. I thought that arc was really funny. She was picking out her 12-year-old boyfriend, who obviously she didn't really like. And then she picked out the girl that gave her a terrible nickname in school. I thought that whole scene, I just couldn't stop laughing.
And she's like, because they wanted her to bring virgins.
Right.
And she's like, and the girl's like, no, I'm not a virgin. And she's like, oh, well, you totally had that virgin vibe to me. Like, who would want to sleep with her? I don't see why anybody would want to. And then Deacon's like, I would. I think my favorite was the interactions with the vampires and the werewolves. I just love that they're just a bunch of average dudes.
Yep.
He's like, hey, we don't swear. What are we? Werewolves, not swearwolves. And one vampire throws a stick to get the werewolves to fetch it, and one actually starts to run after it, and they're like, don't do that. And then when they start to freak out and change, one of them, because they're like getting all amped up because of this conflict between the vampire gang and the werewolf gang, and the other werewolves are like, no, calm down. And then you could kind of hear one in the background go, count to 10, human again, count to 10, human again.
Rhys Darby is the head of the wolf pack.
And I think that's because I saw Flight of the Conchords, which if you haven't seen that, it's Jemaine Clement and Brett something. And they are two musicians from New Zealand that come to New York to make it big. And it's funny as hell. And if you like What We Do in the Shadows and you haven't seen that show, you're totally missing out. And I think it's also on Max, so you should watch it.
Agreed. It's brilliant.
And Rhys Darby plays their manager, and he's like, all right, now I can't do a New Zealand accent, but he's just this totally milquetoast guy. And he was a milquetoast type guy in this too, which is why I think I thought it was so funny when he's like, yeah, I'm the alpha male.
He's fabulous.
What else? Anything else?
I can't think. I have a couple other quotes, but I see that they're in the feedback, so I'll leave it for that. Yeah. Randy talks about a quote that I just couldn't get enough of.
We'll save that for Randy, but let me see. I'll just go through mine. Vlad is showing off his torture room, and he goes, I don't come in here much anymore. I tended to torture when I was in a bad place.
He's healthier now.
Or when they see the little girl vampires, because you stay the same age as whenever you were bitten, and Vlad's like, what are you doing tonight? Are you going to kill some perverts? And they're like, yeah, we're meeting a pedophile. And he goes, cool. Or Nick becomes a vampire and he's introducing his friend Stu in the documentary. And he goes, I brought him around the house and they all thought I brought like a meal for everyone. It just like, it really sucks that I can't eat him. Look at him. He's the reddest guy I know. Which feels like an ad lib because he was super red. Then the procession of shame, they're like, because they kick Nick out and they're like, oh, we're going to subject you to the procession of shame. And Viago's like, I told them not to do it. Like they're thinking it's like this really, really bad thing. And then it ends up just being them all being around in a circle around him going, shame on you.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Before we get to the feedback, I'll mention I didn't realize this until maybe a couple of years ago, but there's another spinoff from this movie called Wellington Paranormal.
I saw that when I was doing some research. Yeah, but I haven't seen it.
It follows the two officers, Minogue and O'Leary, that are in this as they investigate supernatural things around Wellington, also created by Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement. And it's pretty funny.
It's gotta be good.
Four seasons.
I have seen it. It is very funny.
Mm. Okay.
And that was another funny thing. So they come into the house and one of the vampires hypnotizes him not to notice anything out of the normal. But he says, I'm not that good of a hypnotist. It could wear off. And they go, wait a minute. Look at that. There's no smoke detectors here. And they're talking about fire hazards and stuff. And then Deacon says, let's kill them. And Vlad says, well, let's just see what other safety tips they have first.
Fabulous.
So, yeah. Good movie. Let's get into the feedback and see what the listeners thought. Wendy?
All right, Matt King says, never got around to seeing the movie, but can't imagine it being anywhere near as good as the TV show. Matt Berry absolutely nails it, but so do all of the leads.
He does, absolutely.
Give it a try. Yeah.
And give it a try because they totally nail it in the movie too.
Yep.
Catherine Peters says, there's so much to love about What We Do in the Shadows, including the best vampire werewolf rivalry. We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
And then Anton, Reese Darby, when the moon is full, he does start swearing. And they're like, I thought you said we're not swearwolves. And he goes, well, it's okay on Transformation Night or something like that. Becky Anderson said, this movie is what made me excited about the TV show. I watched this movie after my friend raved about it, and it did not disappoint. Had me laughing throughout the entire movie. The chemistry between the actors is great, and there wasn't a dull moment in the whole movie. I agree.
Randy Stevenson says, to anyone who is unsure about watching this movie, I always tell them the line that Jermaine's character delivers in regard to eating virgins. I think of it like this. If you're going to eat a sandwich, you would just enjoy it more if you knew no one had fucked it. It's accurate. So funny, well delivered, and encapsulates the tone of the movie. A little additional trivia for you is that Reese Darby, who plays the werewolf pack leader in the movie, also plays a funny were creature in the short-lived X-Files revival, season 10, episode 3, Mulder and Scully meet the were monster, the best episode of that run, which I know I have watched, but I have zero recollection of that.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because I watched that whole X-Files revival, so I'm sure I saw it.
It's cool.
He says short-lived, but season 10? It can't be that short-lived.
So
they came back X-Files years later and did like another season.
Yeah. And they, instead of making it a whole new show, they just said this was the next season 15 years later or whatever it was, maybe 20.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And it wasn't great, but I was happy to have them in any form.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Love it. Claire Ritterer says, I happened to rewatch this movie just last week. Love, love, love. It's so ridiculously funny and really original. I love Taika Waititi as a writer and director, but his style of acting is genius, and his performance in this and Jojo Rabbit and The Hunt for the Wilder People have become some of my favorites. Also, Jermaine Clement is hilarious in everything he does and just my brand of suave, hot loser. I'm a sucker for both mockumentaries and horror, and this movie blends the two seamlessly. What We Do in the Shadows has easily become a classic in my house. Viago, I went to the lounge the other day and there was blood all over my nice antique couch. Vladislav, which one? The red one? Viago, yeah, well, it's red now, yeah.
Yes. I remember that.
Fabulous.
All right, we got a call from Anwen about it, which is great because she's in New Zealand. Here goes.
Hi, Jason, Wendy, and Karen. It's Anwen here, all the way from New Zealand. And I'm excited that you're covering What We Do in the Shadows, classic Kiwi film. So much to love about it. Rhys Darby as the werewolf. Werewolves, not swearwolves. Absolutely love it. Of course, there's my cousin Jackie playing Jackie. And yes, New Zealand is actually that small. My cousin's in this movie. She went on to do really awesome things and is continuing to do so after this. What else? My favourite has to be Minogue and O'Leary, the bumbling police officers who don't notice anything going wrong anytime ever. And they went on to do this spin-off, Wellington Paranormal, which is fantastic. I highly recommend it. It's so funny. They've also got a podcast for Wellington Paranormal, which is really funny as well, if anyone wants to check that out. And coming up, they have got Harvey, who plays Guillermo on the What We Do in the Shadows TV show. So check it out. Not much else to say, really, except that it's hilarious. Loved the movie. It was awesome. Haven't seen it for ages, but those are the things I remember off the top of my head. What do I do to cheer myself up? My first port of call is always a walk. I always feel way better after a walk. And then I do really enjoy just plopping on a comedy on the TV, something like What We Do in the Shadows, or Schitt's Creek, or just any other good feel-good TV show that just makes you feel all nice and warm and fluffy. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on the movie, and I'm also quite keen to hear what you think about any of the little Kiwi jokes or bits, or if there was anything that you didn't understand, just ask, and I'll help you out as your resident New Zealand expert. Okay, bye!
I did know, I'd forgotten there were any zombies in the movie, and when they went to the party at the end and they said this is sponsored by, and then they said some New Zealand like Wellington suburb society of zombies or something like that. And I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in there that we missed though. But anyway, that was so perfect of Anwen of you to call in with your Kiwi accent. I loved it. Thank you.
Ah, she's wonderful.
Yes.
And we got a message. It's pretty fortuitous that you're on right now, Karen, because we just got this message a couple of days ago that I'm about to read. It's from Ed Spooner, who says, "Dear Jason and Karen, I have no idea if you will receive this or if you're still doing Walking Dead related content. Here's hoping you will. In June this year, I started watching The Walking Dead for the first time. I love listening to the podcast at the same time as watching a show, so I found yours online. I've been watching the show on and off for the last 4 months and have listened to you guys as I go. I've just finished season 8, really loved the way it concluded, and have started 9. Listening to you has been particularly great, as everybody I know has already seen The Walking Dead, so being able to listen to you guys is like having a group of mates to chat along with, although I don't actually talk to you. You can if you want. I think my wife would really think I'd lost it if I did. Yeah, I say probably. Give it a shot. Yeah, just do it.
It's okay. You can do it. We all did it.
Anyway, apart from it being a nice little throwback to the last decade on fast forward as I listen, I'd always thought that with the pace that I'm watching, I would eventually catch up with real time. So I was wondering if you can give me a shout out from the future. Shout out to you, Ed. And maybe in a month or two, I will hear it. I love your work, and the way you guys joke along together is really great to listen to. I will be genuinely sad when the show comes to an end and I can no longer catch up with my Walking Dead mates while I'm doing the washing up. All the best to you, and thank you for the splendid company. Ed Spooner, Farnham, Surrey, UK. P.S. Here's my zombie sound. Rar, rar.
Much nice. Nice.
That's so sweet.
Can I just say, Ed, you have no idea. There's so much content for you. What number podcast are you on now, Jason?
612.
Yeah, that's a lot of content.
Maybe 613.
And that's just the main one.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You will be genuinely, yeah. you won't be sad. Trust me. There's so
go to podcastica.com. You'll see a bunch of other stuff we're doing. Me and Karen's husband, David, are about to cover Squid Game season 2 coming up in December here, if you're into that show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Ed, like, I have a new host now. Karen left the show after a while, and I'm so glad she wants to come back sometimes. But Lucy and I, you're going to love her too. And she's Scottish, and she and I about a year ago now started a rewatch of the whole series. Wow, he'll probably know this by the time he hears this, huh? Because he's not listening right now.
We're just talking to him from
just
the
dawned
past.
On me. That's right. Yeah, we are.
Yeah, but go to Podcastica.
Yeah,
lots of
tons of shows there. Yeah,
you'll never be
Yellow Jackets, Game of Thrones, all kinds of shit.
Jason's there for you.
All right, let's get into some news.
Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
Only a couple pieces of news this week, real quick. First, I watched the Daryl season 3 teaser, and it looks really cool. Of course, the look of the show is one thing they never have any problems with. They have that nailed. But if you're still into the Daryl show like we are, I recommend checking out the teaser for season 3. It doesn't really give any plot points away, but it's beautiful to look at, and I'll put a link in the show notes.
Is he still in France?
Yeah, he's in the Channel as of the end of... He and Carol are in the Channel headed to England.
Oh, so he might be in England.
He may be in England, yeah. Huh. Okay. And second, HBO has announced that The Last of Us Season 2 will air in the spring of next year. They just have a time frame, not a specific date, but if they're being literal, that means it'll start anytime between March 21st and June 21st, I believe. So I'm guessing late March, early April. Yeah. Excited.
So good.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I'm pretty sure the podcast will be the same host, me, Lucy, Ben, and Rima, and Eric podcasting on that again.
Love it.
All right, that is our show, episode 612. Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you feel cheered up by that. Wendy, you mentioned your podcast. Want to talk a little bit more about it?
So myself and two friends that I have worked with for more than a decade started a podcast in, October of 2022. And it's called Seniors and the People Who Love Them. We've all worked in geriatrics our whole lives. And we talk about all the issues that might have something to do with aging and seniors and the people who are caring for them or trying to help them. And we've done the gamut of issues. We talk about Medicare. We talk about fun things like urinary incontinence, but we also talk about sex and virtual reality and depression. Woo! And we talk about it all. So if you're interested, cool. You can find us on seniorscast.com.
Sounds neat. Great.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're up to 36 published episodes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Next episode of this podcast, Lucy and I will be getting back to the rewatch with The Walking Dead Season 3, Episode 13, Arrow on the Doorpost. And also, since we're inching up to the finale, I might as well let you guys know that since Karen and I both appeared as zombies in the Season 3 finale, Karen's going to come back for the finale with me and Lucy.
Heck yeah.
Woo! I love hearing about those stories. I can't get enough.
If you want to write in or leave us a voice message about it, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, please check out our other podcasts. Greg, Rima, and I are podcasting on the Great British Bake Off, and that is under Strange Indeed. Seems like an unlikely show for us, but we
That's
are
strange.
Loving. Yeah. Yes,
indeed.
Karen, I was hoping you would tell us a little bit about David's podcast.
Yeah, so he has a podcast called Sportscastica that is obviously all about sports. He dives deep into weird little topics that are really actually very, very, very cool. Example, and of course, now I'm blanking on it.
Something about like why they don't do the bunt anymore.
Oh, yeah. The sacrifice bunt.
Yeah.
Sacrifice bunt, baby. Yeah. You should. It's actually really amazingly great. And he gets some great interviews. And he knows everything about sports. So it's a great one. If you have a sports lover in your life and they're itching for a little content, that's a really good one. It's fun. There's some history. He's great.
He's great. Love that guy.
He's a great podcaster. Love listening to him.
Yeah. He's really focused.
Mm-hmm. And thoughtful.
Great. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thoughtful. And also, I just want to mention too, Wendy did an incredible job podcasting about House of the Dragon this year with Veronica and Rennie. And so, if you ever go back and watch that show again, I'd recommend checking them out.
Yeah, that was a great experience. And I think we're all really psyched for season 3.
Which is cool. Starting when?
Oh gosh.
In 5 years.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's that Night of the Seven Kingdoms, which I'm hoping I can talk you guys into doing this year.
Yeah. I think I've already thought about that. Yeah.
Cool. Well, this episode is made possible by Patreon supporters like Rinaldi Kaliks, who pledge their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So big thanks to Rinaldi, who's a super interesting guy. He's a pretty engaged Zed head and has deep thoughts about a lot of different shows. He's written more about Fear the Walking Dead than I've seen anyone write. And it's pretty fascinating. And he's great. And for Patreon, as I mentioned before, we just released that episode on our Patreon exclusive podcast, The Zed Head Show, with me, Penny, and Becky, all about our top 5 favorite 90s shows. And it was really fun to revisit that decade. One of my favorites. All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Catherine Peters.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.